This is the second lecture in Unit 9, Component 11. It will focus on acute care and critical access hospitals. Acute care hospitals have an organized structure that includes medical staff, nursing services, and diagnostic and therapeutic services. They have inpatient beds and provide around-the-clock care. Some acute care hospitals may be classified as critical access hospitals. Government regulations limit the number of beds that a critical access hospital may have and require that the hospital be a specific distance from other hospitals in order to be able to be classified as critical access. This typically means that the critical access hospitals are located in more rural areas. The reimbursement regulations that apply to critical access hospitals are different than other acute care hospitals. Acute care hospitals must meet state licensing standards in order to operate. They are licensed for a specific number of inpatient beds by the state. They may need to submit a certificate of need to the state to modify the number of beds they are licensed for. In order to receive Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement, the hospital must meet the requirements of the conditions of participation that are developed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Facilities that are accredited by the Joint Commission, American Osteopathic Association, Healthcare Facilities Accreditation Program, and De Norsk Veritas, or DNV, are deemed to be in compliance with the conditions of participation. By selecting an accreditation body that is approved to offer deemed status, it is not necessary to undergo a separate survey. The electronic health record in acute care provides support to an array of systems. Results management provides fundamental access to data for clinicians. This access may include diagnostic study results, transcriptions, and scanned documents that may be reviewed by the clinician, sometimes through a web portal. The ability to graph results may be important to the clinicians. In point-of-care documentation, the clinician can document or chart their findings or actions. This often begins with assessments, and then later, alerts and prompts are added. Along with this, nursing, interdisciplinary consultations, vital signs, intake and output, plan of care, problem lists, point-of-care testing and specimen labeling, shift reports, and patient education are often automated. Physician documentation beyond orders has been more challenging, as it is difficult to get cooperation as well as find the appropriate tools for the documentation. In order to improve patient safety, many hospitals are implementing electronic medication administration records, often in conjunction with barcoding of medications and the patient wristband, and computerized provider order entry, or CPOE. Medication errors are one of the more common medical errors, and this is an effort to improve that area. One of the issues in these implementations is making sure that staff follows the proper policies and procedures and not develop workarounds that prevent achieving the intended goals. It is important to involve staff in the implementation and carefully consider any workflow issues to avoid this issue. Clinical Decision Support, CDS, is an application that contains rules to support and advise care providers about treatment alternatives. This is incorporated into many of the EHR components. It may also be a separate module that provides the desired CDS rules to the other components of the system. Picture archiving and communication systems, commonly referred to as PACS, are implemented to improve the storage of radiology images. They reduce the need for film storage and allow for digital storage of images. When an EHR system is implemented, PACS can play a greater role in the quality of patient care and can include alerts and reminders when viewing images. Because of the size of digital images, storage area networks, or SANs, may be required. PACS also allow for the remote reading of radiology images when needed. Patient flow management systems help identify the location of the patient at all times and ensure that staff is at the proper locations. This system can alert staff when a patient is ready for surgery and can link the patient location to the orders entered. Many of these systems were implemented first in the emergency department, but have now expanded to other areas of the hospital. The supply chain includes the requisitioning, inventory, and tracking of supply usage. Supplies and labor are the two largest components of a hospital's operating budget. Linking supply chain management systems to the EHR can help ensure contract compliance and usage tracking. These systems can help reduce surgery delays and support device registries so patients can be identified if there is a device recall, such as a pacemaker. Meaningful use rules were developed by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, beginning in 2010. When an eligible provider or eligible hospital complies with these rules, they may qualify for reimbursement for some of the costs of implementing an electronic health record. This slide is to remind us that implementation of EHR systems is connected to a broader plan to increase the quality of care. Unit 2 of this component covers meaningful use extensively. Some of the meaningful use objectives that may be met as a result of an EHR implementation include the utilization of CPOE, the reporting of hospital clinical quality measures to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, or the state, protecting electronic health information, and providing a summary of the care record for each transition of care or referral. When exchanging data with other care settings across the continuum of care, it is important to ensure that any disclosure of health information follows all state and federal laws. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA, of 1996, is one federal law that it is important to follow. However, each facility has legal responsibility for compliance with federal and state regulations and must maintain policies and procedures to manage exchange of information. One of the major barriers in EHR implementation is the inability to integrate the EHR into the clinician's workflow. To avoid this barrier, it is important that a facility carefully analyze the workflow before implementing an EHR. For optimal workflow, the right information must be provided at the right step in the process so it can be acted on by the clinician. According to Linda Washington in her article on analyzing workflow in a health information technology implementation, some important steps in workflow analysis are to identify the boundaries of a process, establish a common understanding of its triggers, steps, and results among stakeholders, analyze how the current process functions, understand where it can be streamlined and otherwise improved, develop use cases that will guide the design, development, and support of the new system that automates the process.